It's definitely officially winter. I don't know. Nothing says Happy New Year more than -8 in Bayfield this morning. So I was pretty surprised. And it gradually got warmer and warmer and warmer as I came to Durango. And eventually it said 0. Isn't that awesome? So I'm excited to kick off the new year. I'm going to be speaking actually through the whole month. And one thing that Sarah mentioned that starts next week is the fast. And that's as a corporate body, we do this as many together as we can. Okay, I want to invite you to join your family of faith in this. It's 3 weeks. It starts next Sunday. You don't have to fast for the whole time. You can do part of it if you'd like. But here's the one thing I would say. If you have questions, just ask. Like, ask anyone on staff, ask the elders, just ask a friend. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. You can partially eat. You could, whatever you want to do. There's a lot of different options. But here's the thing that I want to encourage and leave you guys with today. Don't throw it out without asking God. Okay? Ask him. You can't go wrong by asking God about anything before you do it in life. Okay? And the idea of this is to do it together, to set ourselves aside together and see what the Lord wants to do. And you know, I've had experiences in fasting that have been like totally dry and seemingly like I didn't hear anything from the Lord. I was always like, gosh, was that worth it? That's not the point, all right? I've had other times where I've been like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe what happened. I cannot believe what I heard, what I saw, and all that. And the Lord spoke. The thing is that it's setting ourselves aside for him. So don't throw it out before you ask him. It's an awesome experience, especially together, okay? If anything, just to do it together makes it so worth it. So that being said, we are going to be talking about family this month, and we're going to get into a few things, but what I really want to start with today is actually like a precursor for the year. I want to set a premise for the whole year, and it's something that the Lord's put on my heart, and I'm going to speak it forward. I'll say prophetically, okay? And I can't think of a better word for it, so I'm going to speak it forward because I definitely see it for my own life, and I believe it resonates as a body. So I'm going to pray over the message today and say, Father, you are so intentional about how you speak to us. Thank you. You don't leave us in questions when we need the answers. You share exactly what we need to hear. You speak to the heart. But I pray that this message would seat well in the manner of love that it is intended, that no heart, that the enemy, as he tries to bring condemnation or hardship or struggle into this, if he tries to do that, Lord, let it be gone. Let people see you for who you are, Jesus, and the kindness of the Father in you. In your name, amen. All right, so today, guys, I'm gonna share the story out of the story of Mary and Martha. Okay, Mary and Martha. And that's in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Okay, let's back up. And this is a very short story. I want to add a little bit to it, okay? Or I want to break it apart a little bit. So they come into this town. Martha's house, it says in the book of John that she lives in Bethany. Okay, she lives in Bethany. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem with all the disciples. And so this big party comes to her house. Now, I don't know, it doesn't say if Martha came out and invited Jesus, but how many people here know that Jesus, he often invites himself, okay? He invites himself. And thank God, where would your life be if he didn't come in, if he waited for your permission to show you his kindness? Where would your life be? Thank God, you know, we feel so bold about inviting ourselves. He didn't. Regardless of what happened, what it says is that Martha welcomed him in. Now let's say, okay, if you were a host, all right, you welcome in, who knows how many people, but you've got Jesus and the disciples. If he's got all of them with him at that time, then he's got 12 of them. So there's 13, right? Plus you and your sister and all that stuff. You got like 20 people you got to get dinner ready for, right? So when it says that Martha was distracted because of a big dinner, it's not because she was trying to throw this big, like, elaborate thing for Jesus. It's because you got like 20 people there and you're the host, okay? You're making dinner for a lot of people. So naturally, let me ask you this. If you had a bunch of people over to your house, what would you feel like you needed to do to be hospitable? Clean. Okay, that was probably the best answer. Clean, right? Then next, you should probably make them some food, right? I don't blame her. The issue is Martha was distracted by the dinner. What did it say about Mary? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to what he said, okay? Sat at the feet of Jesus. Here's the thing. She may have literally sat at his feet, but what it would say in that time, it was an idiom. What that means is that basically, like, to sit at the feet of someone means that you put yourself in the posture as a student, as a follower, as a teacher. Like, they would describe, like, I used to sit at the feet of this teacher, to say I used to be this person's student, okay? I used to sit at their feet. So she might have literally sat at his feet, or maybe not, but one thing is clear. The posture of her heart was that she's like, there's something greater going on here. There's something greater going on here. Jesus said to Martha, because this is, can I tell you, this is what so I love about God so much. It's that Martha comes and she says, hey, isn't this lady gonna help? She's my sister. Can you tell her to help? Do you see what I'm doing? She complains. And guess what? That's her saving grace. That's her saving grace. Can you imagine what would have happened if Martha went through the whole night and she never complained and she never brought it up and was just bitter in her heart, and then got the next morning and realized that God in the flesh came to her house. Mary saw it, and it would not be taken away from her. Here's what I want to share this morning, and what I want to set in your minds, the premise for this year. God has come to your house. God has come to your house. And you know what? When he came to a house, he was intentional. There was a lot of different towns he could have stayed in. There was a lot of different houses he could have came to. Why did he go there? I'll tell you. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He did not come to be served, but to serve. Says it in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. He came, and he wasn't expecting that Martha come and make him this big old dinner. You know, the disciples had to do that all the time, go to somebody's house. They didn't even expect the people to host all the time. Look at it for the Last Supper. Jesus is like, go, there's going to be this guy's house that we go to. You guys go make the preparations for dinner. Okay? He came to Martha's house for her and for Mary. That's why. When it says, when Jesus said there's only one thing worth being concerned about, what he's saying is like, there's only one necessity. There's only one need. There's only one thing that you have to have is your business. There's only one thing that's really important. And guess what? Mary found it. Look at it. Just because of dinner, because of distraction, Martha almost missed the fact that the love of God that sat in Jesus Christ was sitting in her living room. Sitting in her living room. And not just that, he came for her and her sister. For her and for her sister. Distraction wars with your awareness of God. Distraction wars with your awareness of God. Mary found it. And you know what the word, when you break it down, Mary chose it. She was aware that dinner was going on, that there was people bustling about. But what'd she do? She sat. She put herself in a place of availability. And you know what? She didn't miss it. If you ever sat in a place where you're like, you know what? I know there's so many other things going on right now, but it just feels right to be here. It feels right to do this. I'll have time to worry about the other things later. Have you felt that? That's where she's at. Martha was not there. Martha almost missed it, but thank God she complained. This isn't a license for everyone in here to complain, okay? I should probably be clear with that. But you think the Lord was surprised about that? No, because the second she complained, what did he do? He imparted a revelation to her. He told her a truth that changed her life. And we know it changed her life because we get to see the follow-up in the book of John. He came for both Mary and Martha. God himself shows up in the house. And he didn't just show up and like, wait, oh, let's see who the audience is. No, he came for somebody specific, for Mary and for Martha. What's so interesting about this story and the nature of distraction in general, I'm going to spend a few minutes on distraction, is that it's a spiritual issue. Okay, distraction is a spiritual issue. Notice what I said. Distraction wars against your awareness of God. Okay, let me ask you something. When you sit to pray for a long time, when you sit to like wait on the Lord, what can be the most discouraging thing and why so many people choose not to wait on the Lord? Because what starts popping up when you sit in a quiet place? Thoughts, distractions, all that stuff, right? And you know, even when you train yourself in going through it and you try and you sit and you've done it for so many years, my mentor, he's like, you know what, I've been sitting waiting for the Lord or waiting for 30 years. And I still get so distracted sometimes. Sometimes, not so much an issue. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't think a single thought that threw me off. And then at other times, you know, I can still picture it. He would sit in this chair. And it was almost like a holy place for him. And on the left, he had this little notebook where he would write all of the things that would come to mind so that as he was praying, he could just be like, all right, that's an important thing. I need to not forget it. So he'd write it down. He'd put the notebook back down. Why? So that he could continue to be present to God. He could continue to be present to God because he knew what was at stake. He's like, this is warring with my awareness of God. Okay, God is in my house. He is right there. Is God in this house right now? Is he present? Do you feel his spirit? Do you know it's there? Are there distractions that are warring right now even for you to see this? What's happened in your life? Through the whole course of your life, think back. The kindness of God has been relentless across your whole life. And look how much has warred to keep you from seeing it. If there wasn't something fantastic at stake, do you think there'd be such opposition? You want to know how much your soul means to the Father? Just look at the opposition for you to know him. If you won't take his word for it, for how much he loves you, then just look at the opposition that's trying to keep you from it. Distraction. I want to speak this about distraction. That I want to speak grace into this, okay? It's easy to be in, when you're in a place of distraction, it's easy to get hard on yourself. It is for me. Does anybody else get hard on themselves when they get distracted? Okay? You can raise your hands, okay? You have permission, okay? It's a new year, but not that much has changed. Okay, that is not from the Lord. All right? You do not have to be hard on yourself for being distracted. Be aware, okay? Be aware and ask him. Look at what happened when Martha came even to distract Mary, because she didn't know she was distracted. She didn't know she was missing it. So she came and she's like, hey, tell her to help me. I'm in the right thing. And you know what Jesus did? He defended Mary in the space. Said, it will not be taken away from her. Do you believe that Jesus will stand up for you in the same fashion? He will stand up for you in the same fashion. He will defend his time with you. Why? Because he paid so much for it. We have no concept of that price. He's well aware of it, I promise you. Well aware of it. Did Jesus rebuke Martha? He didn't rebuke Martha. You know what he said? He said, in fact, if you look at the original language, he didn't say, my dear Martha. He said, Martha, twice. He said, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. And then what does he do? He points out, like, he didn't say anything about if making dinner was right or not, was the best choice or not. What did he do? He pointed out to the actual issue. He's like, you're worried and upset about so many things. You're worried and upset about so many things. Do you see the signs? Mary has chosen what's best, and it will not be taken away from her. He pointed right to the distraction, right to that spirit of distraction. How do you identify distraction? Okay, sometimes it seems really obvious, but for Martha, she didn't know. She didn't know how distracted she was. I mean, she almost missed that God himself was in her house. Do you think the same could happen to you and I? Very much. She almost missed it, but the signs were there. So Jesus spoke to them. He said, Martha, you're worried and upset. Here's the nature of distraction. It feels burdensome. Okay? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A lot of people have come to take that as like, my life should be easier. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. You know how, I'll paint it a different way. You know when you're doing the right thing and it's still really hard, like it's a really hard situation, but because you know you're doing the right thing, it's easier in your heart, it's light on your heart. You're like, I know this is the right thing, even though the circumstance is hard. When do you feel burdened? When you don't know if it's the right thing or not. That's what that's saying. So Martha, when he's speaking to Martha, he says, you're worried and upset about all these things. Mary found what's most important. And you know what? This broke free some things in her life. Again, you read up in the book of John, you'll see she found freedom. She found some freedom. Okay? And you know what the freedom was? She saw the Father figure in Jesus himself. All of the love of the Father shows up in that man, in Jesus, who's sitting in her living room. Sitting in her living room. Distraction brings more distraction. Okay? Martha's distracted. What does she do? She goes and tells Jesus to let Mary be a part of the distraction too. Didn't even know she was doing it. Had no idea. Let me ask you this. When you're around people who are really hungry in their relationship with God, they're so excited about their relationship with God. They can't wait to tell you what's happened in their relationship with God. What does it do in your heart? It gets you excited about the same things. It makes you want relationship with him more, right? Distraction is the same way. Just as hunger begets hunger, distraction begets distraction. And of course, it never affects things in a positive manner. You know, an easy identifier of distraction is that it makes absolutely no difference for you. No positive difference. Let me give you the example of Martha that I brought up earlier. If she would have kept going and finished dinner and never complained, okay? God uses anything. He's not afraid of a few complaints. He doesn't want you to complain. He's pretty clear on that. Do everything without arguing and complaining. But he's not afraid of it. He'll use it to redeem. He's in the business of redeeming, okay? But Martha, I would have felt so sick if I went that whole night and I didn't get to talk to Jesus. Because I felt like I had to do these things. It wasn't wrong what she was doing. Any of us probably would have felt like, you know what? They're at my house. I'm the host. I need to be hospitable. Thank God Jesus spoke some light to her. To wake up the next day and be like, oh my gosh, God himself came to my house. And all I did was stay in the kitchen. Or maybe let's bring it more modern. God himself was in my house and all I could think about was work. God himself was in my house and all I could think about was what I wanted to do later today or tomorrow or the problem I have. Is this not our reality? Do you see what is warring against your awareness of God? He's sitting in your house. He's sitting in your house. And he came for you. Of all the places that he could have gone, he shows up in this one house. Why? For you. For me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many that choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Okay, why is it difficult? Think about it. Look at all the things that come up in our life. Again, you're right in the middle of a war. Look how many things don't want you to know him. To get up in the morning and let's say to have, I love to get up in the morning and spend my time with the Lord in the morning. That's me, okay? I've been spending a lot more time at night as well. Interesting shift. I was never that night owl. Still can't believe it. I get up in the morning. You know, I can remember seasons where I, because I was so distracted, I would get up in the morning and I was thinking about all the things I had to do for work that day. And you know what seemed like the right choice to make? You know what? I want to be diligent. I want to be prudent. I want to be wise. Let's get my ducks in a row for work today. I can skip my quiet time again. Notice the word again. If it happens once here and there, that's one thing. Okay? But when something has been winning the war, when distraction has been winning the war with your awareness of God, sit with him, ask for his help, lean in. What did Mary do? She leaned in. She's like, you, whatever she saw in Jesus in that moment, I couldn't even begin to say, okay? I'm sure I would never exhaust it. But all of the love of the Father was in this man right in front of her. All of the love of the Father. Let me ask you, what does a father bring to your life? Kindness builds you as a human being, gives you the love that you need, raises a son up to be a man, empowers a daughter as a daughter, shows her full worth. You see that he set everything. He carried, embodied all of that. He does. And he's sitting in the house. Second Corinthians 6:16 says, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people." Guess what? You are the house. You are the house. And he is sitting in the house. Do you see it? Do you see it? If you don't, there's not condemnation. Okay? If you don't, ask, seek, knock. Jesus promised all these things. The door will be opened. You will find. You will see. Just like Mary did. In John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, it says, Jesus said, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Okay, this is one of those statements that I'm pretty sure the Lord said, like, to, he gave it to us to ponder, and we'll never come up with like a good way to explain it that's totally conclusive, because it can mean so many awesome things, right? But I'll tell you this about what it means to worship in spirit. What is your spirit? Your spirit is the bare bones of who you are. If you take away all the bells and whistles that you're wearing, all of your good deeds, all of the things that you've done, and all that's sitting left is the man or woman that you are. Exactly as he created you. And that's what's left. And you open that up to him. That's what it means in spirit. And to acknowledge that God himself is sitting in the room with you. The Father, in all of his love, all the stories you've heard, all of the greatest things of kindness, the things that you'll never recreate for another person, because only God could love like that, is sitting with you. And you can't make yourself worship in spirit and truth except to be available. And you see that, oh my gosh, as I just opened up like Mary did, and I set myself aside, was gone from distraction. Look what he showed me and said to me and taught me, even to Martha. Look what he showed her. It changed her life. One statement changed her life. And you naturally come up and worship. Your heart longs to just like admire. And you're almost like stuck in this spot where you're like, I'll never say a word that could adequately say who you are. I see you. I see you. Thank you for opening my eyes to the goodness of God that's right in front of me. It's been there your whole life. Your whole life. And he chooses the times to make himself more known to you than others. He chooses those times. This is what I think Mary saw this even before some of the disciples. In John chapter 14, verse 8 through 11. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but the Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. At least believe because of the miracles. At least believe because of the kindness that you've seen happen from me to the world." I want to share a few stories that that have the intention of prompting. I want you guys to think where the Lord has shown up in his kindness and in his miraculous nature to you in your life. Okay, I had a... That's what my hope is, that these stories will prompt this so that you see the Father's heart sitting in the man Jesus in front of you. I was driving from Bayfield, this is years ago, I was driving from Bayfield to Durango, and I had this vision come across my mind where I was pacing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, the south rim of the Grand Canyon. I'm pacing back and forth, just like I pace on this stage. And I paced for so long that I literally wore a path along the edge of the cliff. And then I decided I'm gonna jump. And I run to the edge of the cliff and I jump off the cliff. And I don't get to see what happens after that. I watched myself for the first few seconds in the vision. I don't get to see what happens after that. But I literally felt, this is going across my mind, I literally felt that feeling in my stomach. Like when you fall or when you're driving and you go over a hill. You know, I felt that falling feeling physically in my stomach. 2 years later, I come and after service, I come up for prayer from somebody, this man and his wife. And this woman says to me, she says, I see a picture of you where you've been walking and pacing back and forth on the edge of this cliff, like you've been deciding for years if you're gonna jump or not. You've worn a path and you're about to jump. And she spoke to the season like that. And just like any word, I took it and I was like, because you take a word and you weigh it before God, okay? You weigh it before God. And I took that word and I weighed it before God. And you know what the Lord showed me? He brought me all the way back to this time in eighth grade, where like, did anybody have in eighth, after they graduated eighth grade, there's like a panel of people and they do like a presentation, they speak some things over you, they celebrate you and stuff before you go to high school. Okay, the Lord brought me back to that experience where this math teacher spoke the same words over my life. I had no concept of the Lord then. No concept. And the kindness of God was present in my life before any of my recognition of it. He's sitting in the house. He's sitting in your house. Distraction wars for you to not see that. For you to not see he's right there and he's been there. Even when we forget, I cannot believe how much I've forgotten. I had this time this week, just a few days ago. I was sitting in, I was sitting at home. I was sick and I just had started to feel better. And I was sitting at home. I get this phone call from a friend of mine. And this woman says, hey, what are you doing tonight? It's like, well, nothing really. We're, you know, getting over being sick and we're kind of just hanging out at home. And she's like, well, do you want to go on the Polar Express tonight? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that I love it. And it's expensive. And I'm sitting there, it's like, well, maybe. And she's like, well, you know, there was five people coming into town. They missed their flight. We've got extra tickets. It's our gift to you. And I was like, okay, cool. You know what was actually the most important part of this story? 2 years ago, I was paying a whole bunch of bills. I remember I felt like I was just shoveling my money out the door, right? Anytime you ever feel like that, just paying all these bills and I'm like, oh my gosh, it just doesn't seem wise. My whole family wants to go on the Polar Express. My kids really want to go. My wife really wants to go. She wants to make a moment out of it. I'm such a boring party pooper. I could just sit at home and, you know, that's my thoughts. And one Sunday morning, I asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, no, I want to do this. I know it would mean so much to my family. I also know it's not wise financially for where we're at. Will you make a way? Will you make a way? 2 hours later, I come to church here. And this gentleman just comes up out of nowhere. I have like no relationship with this man. And he says to me, Nick, do you have any interest in going on the Polar Express? I have four tickets. And you know, can I tell you what was so fascinating about that? Is I wasn't even surprised. I have kicked up the dust with the Lord enough to know in my life that he loves to be kind to his people. He loves to love you. That's who he is. That's what Mary is seeing in this. It's not even about you. That's who he is. That's who he is. That's the kindness of God. That you could just open up and you could ask. He knows you're going to ask. You think you're going to surprise him? And look, I already forgot that 2 years ago. I took a phone call this week. You know when you read through your journals and you're like, oh my gosh, look at all the things that God has done in my life. And I forgot about that one, and I forgot about that one, and I forgot about that one. You know what? It's okay. He'll remind you. He makes a point of it. Of all the houses that he could have gone, why did he go to this one house? He went for them. He went for them. I have one other story. This is to speak to the kindness of God. This is not to speak to what man does. This is to the kindness of God. A few years ago, I was in Bible study with a group of men that I met with, and one night, there was a gentleman there, and he was going to get neck surgery 2 days later. He's going to get neck surgery 2 days later. And he goes to our small group that night, and he's like, hey, will you guys pray for me? And that pray that the surgery goes really well and all that stuff, and that, you know, bless the hands of the doctors and all that stuff. And so, of course, we pray over him. He's our good friend. And I like to go on walks and stuff like that. I walked to Bible study that night. So I asked him, I was like, hey, will you give me a ride home? So he gives me a ride home. And I say, hey, can I just lay my hands on your neck and pray for healing prior to that happening? And he's like, yes, of course. And so I do. I lay my hands on his neck and I start praying over him. And he feels and hears it pop. He feels and hears it pop. And he goes home, and he doesn't sleep at all that night. He doesn't sleep at all that night. He gets up the next morning and calls his doctor right away. Because keep in mind, he's scheduled to go into surgery the next day. And he tells his doctor, I think I've been healed. And so they get him an appointment at 11 o'clock that morning. He goes in, and his doctor's like, you have been healed. Can I tell you, the point of things like that happening, look what it says. Like, even if you won't take my word for it, look at the kindness that I show to the people. Do you see that the point of a miracle is so that you can see who God is? He loves to love you. He loves to love you. There's nothing he won't do. I'm convinced of it. Nothing can separate us from that love. Height nor depth nor idiotic ignorance should probably be in there of our own part. That he'll even defend you against distraction. Distraction wars against your awareness of God. And please invite the worship team to come back up. This is the nature of this season. I want to speak ahead. God is in your house. He is in your house. He is in your house. Do you see what is happening? Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. How do you know that the wind exists? You see it blow. You see the effects of it blowing. You hear it. Bring some new smells. You feel it on your own skin. You feel it on your own skin. All the evidence is there. So you know it exists. He is sitting in your house. What evidence do you see that he is there? Because I'll tell you, there's way more. None of us are free of distraction. None of us. Some of us may be more distracted than others, but gosh, that doesn't even matter, okay? We all get distracted. You know what I care about? I care that each person in here would go and see him. That this isn't some fairy tale you're sitting into later today. This is the love of God. All the love of the Father, everything you could possibly need in the way you need to hear it. In the man before you. Sitting in your house. That woman almost missed it, except that she was honest with Jesus and complained. Honesty. Maybe her heart wasn't in the best spot. He didn't care. He spoke life into her. And what happened? She's redeemed and restored. Do you want to be redeemed and restored? Right? Every person in this room can think of something right now that they want the love of God to step into their life. or even maybe just to know him a little bit. Just a little bit. I say, Father, give them all they want. Give them all they want, and then more from there. Let it be beyond anything that they're distracted by. Let it be beyond anything they've expected of you, anything they've hoped for in you. This is who you are. This is who you are. Glory to you, God. And that I'll never be able to say enough to show who you are. Make it plain to these people for your sake and for your honor. Nothing compares to you. Thanks for giving us an example of a woman who found it. We lift you up together, Lord. And I pray that you would set on each person's heart right now whatever it is that you want to speak to them about. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm hearing from the voice of the one who sits in my house, who came for me, to me, with me. And here you are, Lord, faithful to what you promised. We bless you in your name. Amen.
Usual that we would bring a new song on a day like this or without a full band, but there was too much in sync with Mary choosing the right thing. And so as we head into this new year, this song is to align us with that choice, that daily choice to choose to worship no matter what is going on. And in the middle of it, I'll ask you to help us out in one way or another, but just go ahead and start this.
I choose to worship. I choose to bow. Though there's pain in the offering, I lay it down. Here in the conflict, when doubt surrounds, though my soul is unraveling, I choose you now.
I'll praise you.
I will praise you through the fire, through the storm, and through the flood. There is nothing that could ever steal my soul. In the valley, you are worthy. You are good when life is not. You will always and forever be my soul. I build my altar right here and now. In the midst of the darkest night, it won't burn out. For you are perfect, no matter what. In the joy of the suffering, I sing it loud. I will praise you through the fire, through the storm, and through the
part. Can we get this going? Because we don't have a full kit. We got Ron here rocking the boom booms, but that's about it. So here we go.
When the enemy says I'm done, I lift my praises. When my world comes crashing down, lift my praises high. Till the darkness turns to dawn, I lift my praises. I choose to worship.
Distraction is this busyness, right? Can I tell you that no matter how much we think, oh, if I just slow my life down, this will get easier. You know what? You're right. And is it easy when you have kids running around and something comes up at work and all this stuff? Do you get to decide all the things that happen in your life? No. Can I tell you what's most important? To be present to every moment. That's even what you want when you say, I need to slow my life down, is to say, I need to be present to this moment. Guys, I want you to be present to this moment. And I want you to look at what the Lord is speaking to you. Okay, this is an opportunity for yourself. This is an opportunity to take with your family. Okay? This is an opportunity to take with your spouse, your brother, your sister, your father, your son, your daughter, your mother. I want you to take a minute, though, and do this. We're just going to finish with this. Close your eyes. And I want you to first choose to be present to God. Say, I want to see you, or whatever fits for you. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to know you. As Mary did, she set her heart as a student, as a follower, as a disciple. Say, I will choose to worship. I will choose to worship. I'm letting it go. Just speak to me. Can I tell you, you have all the grace to grow and to learn. It doesn't matter where you're at. Just keep looking to Him. Keep asking Him. You have the grace. You have the grace. Rest in that peace. That it doesn't matter what you've done. The enemy brings up all the stuff you've done. The Lord brings up all the stuff where you're going. Why? Because He has plans and a future for your life. Hear His voice. Hear what He's saying to you. Let your even to be like Martha and have one word that changes your whole life. He's not afraid of your complaints. Take a minute and speak to Him whatever you want to speak to Him. Take this time, speak to Him, whatever you want to speak to Him. And now finish with this. Tell Him who He is to you. If you see that He is great and awesome, say He's great and awesome. If you see that He just loves, tell Him, I see that you love. I'm convinced of it. Speak your kindness to Him, your worship to Him. He is God who showed up to your house. He is in your house. For you, He came for you. And hear that. And Lord, let that echo in every single heart here through this whole week. And let us encourage each other in it. In Jesus' name. Amen.